in terms of AI, data annotation is the process in preparation to train the model. So that's when you label the data so that you can train the model in the task that they need to do. And that's what you want to really avoid, the intuitiveness, mm-hmm. because that's where you introduce bias.
Do you know, Gloria, I genuinely have a feeling that actually just everything that you've said here will actually just help young women in particular see that actually working in AI is an option for them. Hello, my name is Tina Marshall, and today I have Gloria Rocco with me, who is the annotation lead at Acrivia Health. So annotation works hand in hand with our AI scientists. So today we're going to be talking about how that all works, particularly as AI is such a big topic and very important to us. And I wanted to touch on two points actually for this episode of the podcast. So one is females in health tech. I really enjoy speaking to Gloria for a number of different reasons. One of them is because she is one of the only females that I know that work in AI. So I definitely want to touch on that with you. So thank you, Gloria, for coming and talking today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
But I also really wanted to dig into more of Gloria's work and AI in general. It's such a big topic at the moment. Everybody's throwing AI around. And for me, it's one of those things where AI is such a big topic, you know, is kind of like medical devices or pharma. It's another specialty. It's another function. And AI is that. So we'll dig into that. So as I said, thanks, Gloria. Really appreciate having you here. I think it'd be really good to start off with understanding a bit more about you and your background. What led you to AI?
That's a really good question. I think what led me here is basically just really trying to figure out what I like and what I don't like, and basically just saying yes to opportunities, because my background is actually in biomedical science. And initially I worked in the hospital as a scientist in the cancer lab. And I realized I'd you know, it's a great job, but it's just, I don't want to be working in a hospital. And I had this opportunity, and it was like a society social in Oxford University. And I met a couple of people there, and they were from Oxford AI Society. They asked me to be part of their committee. So I was just doing some small things like arranging social events for them, arranging hackathons. And that was a time where I just saw the potentials of AI. And I did my master's. I figured I wanted to do my master's in health data science. And after that, I got a job here in Acrivia. You know, like it wasn't like Acrivia was still starting then, and I had the opportunity to kind of like shape my own role, and I knew I wanted to be in the AI team. It's just I don't know which aspect of AI I wanted to be in. Now I'm in data annotations of AI.
So going back then, Gloria, what led you to biomedical science? Because it doesn't seem as though it's something that's actually presented to women or to young women. And it could be, obviously, I'm much older than you. We're not going to say how much. but even I remember in September being on part of a Facebook group for parents, and some parents had children who had just gone up to secondary school. College. But they didn't get the grades that they wanted at college to do the courses that they wanted to do, which were scientific engineering. So they were automatically put into a childcare course, which to me is genuinely crazy to think that it happens in this day and age. None of the boys who didn't get their grades were put into childcare. It was just the girls. So for me, it's really shocking. But how was it presented to you? What led you to want to do that in the first place?
Biomedical science.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was mostly my parents, my background, my mom. She's a nurse.
Okay.
And my dad is a doctor. And I thought I'd like to be in that field.
Yeah.
I thought at first I wanted to be a doctor, but I didn't.
didn't want to be in the hospital.
No, I don't want to be in the hospital. And that's how I figured it out, like doing that lab work mm-hmm. in the hospital. And then I just decided this is really not what I want.
I think understanding what you don't want is as if not more important as understanding what you do want.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted something about health, but not necessarily be in the hospital. And I was exploring my options to that. And then that's when I came across, you know, like AI. They were already talking about AI in the lab anyway, mm-hmm. Like AI machines. I've never seen them because it was the NHS. It was like such a slow process. So I just started exploring the different aspects in health.
Okay, brilliant. And so now you you work in data annotation. That's your thing.
Yes.
What is data annotation and how does it relate to AI?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a kind of like, I feel like not really talked about, because in AI, I feel like it's mostly the models that we know. And data annotations is part of model development, basically. And I'd like to separate like model development into two parts, which mm-hmm. is the data centric aspect of it. So that's where the data annotations, data labeling, data curation sits in. So that's where I sit in. And then also you have the kind of like the model centric aspect of it. So that's what our Tarsa does, our AI scientist. So that's the algorithms, the architecture, the models. So basically, data annotation in its simplest terms, like annotation is basically adding a text or a label or a tag on a text so that you can, you know, elaborate on the context more. You know, you do that all the time when you read and then you kind of like highlight a word mm-hmm. and then you add a word to it. That's what we do. And in terms of AI, data annotation is the process in preparation to train the model. So that's when you label the data so that you can train the model in the task that they need to do. And that's very important because that's the foundation at which the model learns. So that's why I try to separate the model and the data side, but they really come together.
Everything that you've just said for data annotation, I'm thinking, wow, you must have great attention to detail to really be able to zero in on that data with a precise focus.
Yeah. So talking about the strengths of annotation, I think you're right. It's attention to detail. But also, I guess it's also collaboration. It's a lot of collaboration because you read a text, person A would interpret that differently to person B. It's very subjective. And that's one of the challenges in annotation is the subjectiveness of text. And, you know, like you want for the model to learn, you need a high quality, consistent data. And that means it needs to be the way you approach annotation should be more logical rather than intuitive. Because I feel like most people who don't do the annotations or data labeling would think that, oh yeah, data labeling, it's so, you know, when you read a text, you know what it means. It's so intuitive. And that's what you want to really avoid, the intuitiveness, mm-hmm. because that's where you introduce bias, basically. Okay. The intuition, that's like your mental shortcut on how you interpret things. And the model can't really learn that, you know, like the model learns really differently. It needs to be logical. It needs to be consistent. And, you know, it needs to be reproducible. Because, you know, when you think about your intuition, sometimes you can't really explain it. You know, it's just my intuition. You can't really say that to the client. Be like, yeah, that's my intuition. Yeah. No, it needs to be like, you need to be able to logically explain why you labeled this data like this.
So removing that intuition, focusing on the logic part of it, that helps to reduce bias in the AI model. Because there's lots of conversations at the moment about bias and how can we reduce bias and how can we make sure that AI isn't naturally biased because of how it's being trained.
Yes. I mean, like, bias, by its definition, is when the model makes the wrong assumptions because, you know, it gives the wrong answers. Mm-hmm. And that's because the training data it was given was not reflective of the real world. And that's what we really want to avoid is the bias. But it's hard to avoid bias because bias is everywhere. Bias is in human language, the way we write things, the way we interpret.
The unconscious bias that's so dangerous.
Yeah, and the way we interpret it is a form of bias, and that's why it's quite difficult to kind of reduce it. But you know, like recognizing your own bias and recognizing where they may arise, because it arises in the different stages of the AI pipeline. So if you recognize that bias might happen here.
How do people recognize their own bias?
I guess, you know, it's so difficult. You do recognize and you realize it when you collaborate and talk to other people. And you're just like, oh yeah, you know, like, because sometimes it's so automatic. Intuition is so automatic. And you don't realize that you're being intuitive until someone calls you out and be like, I don't think it's like this. It's like this. And also, this is why it's very important in annotation that you have proper documentation of rules and logic, because sometimes you actually contradict yourself sometimes.
Okay.
You know, like, and this is what I'm talking about, consistency. Like, you should be consistent. And, you know, like, annotation is better done in kind of like a cross-team collaboration with our subject matter experts. So we have our clinical psychiatrists that we talk to for advice as well. And having just like a well-rounded team with different perspective really avoids that unintentional bias.
How can we help young women move into AI?
That's a really good question. I think being aware of it at a very young stage, so in school, would really help. Like, and I'm just basing this on my experience, and you know, take it as a grain of salt.
Oh my goodness, Gloria! Yeah. I can see all of these career day interviews coming up now.
Yeah,
where I'm going to have to get you going and speaking to all of the schools.
I guess the interest, you know, like I've noticed in my school, and maybe this is just in my school, you know, like the interest for physics and maths tend to be male dominated, and physics and maths are really like the kind of like requirements, and not necessary requirements, but that's what you tend to see in AI.
So why is it at school that then it's just many boys doing physics?
Honestly,
and maths?
I don't know, because I did psychology, so. I was like, I don't want to be there, you know, like, because you tend to go with your friends, right?
Yeah.
Or you tend to kind of like, oh, it was honestly the physics A-levels. It didn't really interest me because first it was honestly all boys. There was only one girl there. And I think maybe trying to... you know, like, and it's the same in psychology. There were only two guys. Yeah. And
definitely a gender divide going on there.
Yeah. And
women want to find out what's going on in people's
heads,
what makes them tick. And men just want to get things to tick.
Yeah. I guess like it's more of like maybe having, giving, you know, like, because if you give them a choice and then kids usually choose where they're more comfortable in. Sometimes it's not even the subject, it's the presence of the people.
Yeah, the friends and their teachers.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good point. I remember when I was at school, I had a choice of doing French and German. I was really good at French, but I didn't like the French teacher, so I chose German.
Yeah.
Clever move on my part.
I mean, same for me. I mean, like in, I wanted to do history, but my friends wanted to do drama. So I did drama.
I bet that was fun though.
It was fun. But
you
wish
history.
I wish I did history. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But then I didn't want to be like, nerd, you know. Yeah, but I wish, like, you know, like I don't really necessarily have the answer of how you break those barriers, because those are the barriers that I myself experienced, and I think it's just more of like, I guess, like collaborate, like, you know, like mixing people up, collaboration would really help. Yeah.
Do you know, Gloria, I genuinely have a feeling that actually just everything that you've said here will actually just help young women in particular see that actually working in AI is an option for them. Thank you very much, actually, Gloria, for joining me today. I think it's been really fun to speak to you. And for everybody listening to this one, I really tie in to the fact of the annotation and the AI modelling. It's not one or the other. They need to work seamlessly together. So everything that I've heard through today with speaking to Gloria is around collaboration. For me, as you'll know, I have a keen interest on moving more women into STEM. And I think even just listening to Gloria and her experiences, it just goes to show that we need to start at the beginning, start early. So, you know, this goes to, as a bit of a shout out to the schools and the lecturers and the colleges. And Gloria, as you can see, is a great speaker. So do contact us if you'd like her to come and speak to your school.